to the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello, I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we hear from Rolex rookie Ellen Doughty from Texas, who is preparing to head to Kentucky with Sir Oberon. But first, we hear from Dr. Victoria Maxwell on how Adequan can be helpful in the treatment of degenerative joint diseases.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Chris.
So let's talk about Adequan as a product and what we can expect from the product itself.
Sure, thank you. So Adequan is a drug that has been approved by the FDA for the treatment of degenerative joint disease in both the horse and the dog as well. So the original approval process occurred back in 1983 with our intra-articular version, which veterinarians were utilizing into the specific joint space to treat that particular joint. And then in 1992, we got approval for the IM, or the intramuscular route of administration for Adequan. And then in 1998, we've had the approval for the canine version. And then most recently in 2010, we had the approval of something called Adequan Multidose, which is the Adequan IM formula in a 50 ml vial. So it's been in the horse circles and in the community for an extended period of time.
And so let's talk about how it can be applied to the variety of joint problems that are prevalent in the event horse.
Certainly. So the term degenerative joint disease is a term that's used in veterinary medicine. The term osteoarthritis is a term that's really used in human medicine. And in fact, they are both really the same disease. So when we're talking about degenerative joint disease, we're really talking about osteoarthritis. Now, the disease is not a straightforward and simple disease. It's a bit of a complex thing to discuss, but the most important thing to realize is that in a healthy state, the cartilage that covers the ends of the long bone, so let's use two long bones like the carcass, coming together, at the ends of where those long bones are, there's a very specialized cartilage called articular cartilage. And it's not very thick, it's a few millimeters thick, but its job is to hold water and then radiate the load as it comes down onto the joint. And what happens in degenerative joint disease is that the cartilage gets into a negative state. In other words, the joint space gets thinner and thinner, the cartilage gets thinner from age-related, use trauma, conformation, shoeing, footing, whatever variables are in there, the cartilage gets into a net negative state. So the idea with Adequan is that when we give it into the muscle, it takes 2 hours to get to the joint. It stays at a therapeutic level in the joint for 96 hours or 4 days. But what it's doing is it's telling a cell, the chondrocyte, who has become deficient in his role, to upregulate or start making cartilage at a faster rate to get that cartilage into a positive state again. So instead of being thin, if we use it in the one shot every 4 days for 7 treatment, it thickens the cartilage. It brings something on, which is called proteoglycan complex. It looks a lot like Christmas garland inside of the cartilage. It gets that to be full, thick, repairs those small broken components so that the horse's stride is back. He can engage and push off of that joint in a lot more comfortable state than it was when it was a thinning cartilage.
Well,
does that make sense?
Well, yes, it does. Mm-hmm. And we should point out that this is not a preventative measure, is it?
That's an excellent point. What we'd like to say on the label, it says for the treatment of degenerative joint disease. So one of the big components about this, and I think for all lameness, I worked for many, many years for a very high-level hunter-jumper barn before I had gone to veterinary school, and our veterinarian was very proactive with our lead trainer and rider. And we worked collectively as a team. So we went through and did lameness exams with flexion on all the horses in the barn, typically when we did Coggins and Spring Shots. So we had a baseline assessment of all of our horses, Some horses we put on Adequan, others we waited until they were different points of their training. It wasn't just a one-fix drug that we utilized. So if they can get their veterinarian involved into the lameness regime and what their expectations are for the horse over their calendar year that they're looking to show and compete, I think you have to use products like this very strategically to get the best benefits.
And it is a process. This is obviously important for our listeners to know that this is a prescription drug and it needs a true diagnosis first.
Excellent point. Yeah, we want to be able to treat actual degenerative joint disease. In other words, people will call me and say that their horse has perhaps a soft tissue injury or had a sprain. Do I think that the cartilage is involved? It's impossible for me to make that diagnosis over the phone, but what I remind them is this drug is to treat articular cartilage damage, not necessarily soft tissue. So if they're trying to treat a different disease process, they'll be disappointed in their results. So the lameness and the flexion exams that the veterinarian does are really paramount. So when we're doing a flexion exam, I take that hind limb and I, hold the limb up. So I'm actually sort of crushing the cartilage in the horse's joint. I'm expressing all of the water out of it. I hold it up for about 60 seconds. When I release that limb and let that horse trot, if he regains his stride in one or two steps, he probably has a very healthy articular cartilage. If it takes that horse 7 or 8 steps to regain a natural stride, he is probably a high candidate for articular cartilage change or remodeling. So those are caveats that I look for when I'm doing my lameness exam.
So the first step, of course, is to call your veterinarian and get an accurate diagnosis and knowing that Adequan might be appropriate for your horse. So it's all about education, isn't it, Tori?
It is about saying this, like I mentioned earlier, is not an easy disease process. I think what we get horses into a lot of smoldering state. In other words, the disease process is very slow. So if I have a young horse and I'm riding him and I have high expectations and we're jumping and we're training him, I don't ever underestimate the power of Mother Nature. That horse gets a little bit of rest, 7 to 10 days. That cartilage has a chance to repair. It brings it back to what we call a state of homeostasis or normal or a state of balance. And then that horse goes out and works again, maybe gets into a little negative state. But Mother Nature in the typical can handle the wear and repair. It's when that horse goes into that net negative state that we need the influence of a pharmaceutical to overcome those changes. So rest is a very good therapy where the cartilage is allowed to reestablish itself. Sometimes rest isn't enough and we may address it medically with nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories to manage the pain. But if we really want to get into a reparative state, that's the place where Adequan really differentiates itself from the symptom management therapies that are out there, as opposed to a reparative therapy that's available.
And finally, how frequent can you use it and for how long?
That's a very, very, very good question and one that we get quite frequently. So the package insert on it is the label dose of 500 milligrams or one injection every 96 hours for a total of 7 treatments. So we know that when we follow that protocol, we've brought that cartilage back to a thick homeostatic place. As far as redosing, because we only could recommend the 7 series, that is a patient individuality. In other words, a racing 2-year-old standard bred is very different from a 16-year-old dressage horse. It's not the same disease. They have different needs, different conformation. So I'm going to leave that to the trainer-veterinary relationship about when the perfect window is. I think one of the biggest benefits that I've been able to give to my owners is that I try to get them to keep a lameness journal. And I try to get them to write in it at least once a week on every single horse. And I find that they become better at picking up subtle lamenesses that are happening in their horse. I find when I go to owners, they have a very poor recollection for lameness. I'll say, well, what was his horse doing in October? What was he doing in December? Was he moving laterally? Was he doing his changes? Was he sort of carrying his front end in an upward style? Those things will help me determine the therapeutic avenue I want to go. If they are not good at keeping a lameness journal, I ask them to keep a video journal on their phone. Everybody has a video on their phone. At the beginning of the month, June 1st, July 1st, August 1st, take a short snippet video of your particular horse. When you start to see changes in that gait that may be related to the joints, then that's the time to address that with your veterinarian. But if you have a nice library to review, I think that that will help you understand each horse as an individual.
Great advice, Tori. Thank you very much indeed for coming on the show this week and also for your support of the USEA. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's a phenomenal organization and one that we've had a long-standing relationship and plan to continue that relationship for long into the future. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
Ellen Doughty from Area 5 will be making her debut at this year's Rolex Kentucky three-day event with Sir Oberon, and it's also going to be a very special occasion for her personally. How are the preparations going, Ellen?
Good. Everything's been going really well. I've just did a jump school 2 days ago on Obi, and he jumped super. Everything's been going really well, so we're excited to get headed down to Kentucky.
Well, this has been a dream for you, hasn't it? Tell us a little bit about your background and why this is means so much to you to get to Kentucky.
Well, I've been riding since I was 8, and I started eventing sometime in high school, and I'd only evented through training level when I got Obi, and so we've kind of climbed up the levels together. So it's always been a dream to ride at Kentucky. I'm from Michigan, so I had been to Rolex several times and been there to watch, and I'd always dreamed of riding there one day.
When did you first go there then as a spectator, and how old were you at the time?
I think my first year was 1998, so I would have been 14.
Right, so you were watching who at that time? Who do you remember as your sort of mentors, you know, the heroes that were blazing the trail for you?
Well, I always, Bruce Davidson always stands out, and Ken and David O'Connor, those are the big ones that stand out in my memory back in the day.
Well, tell us about how you got Sir Oberon, Obi as you call him, because you've made him yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, I bought him as a five-year-old. I actually was searching for a client for a horse, and I found him online. They had just posted him that day, and I called up the woman, and he was only about a half hour from me, and I went and found him the next day and put a deposit down on him. He was five, and the lady was doing mainly just lower-level dressage with him, and she thought he was a little bit hot to be doing dressage, so I went and rode him and fell in love with him. So,
what did you fall in love with? What was it about his personality that attracted you?
He's super willing. He's got a good eye, and he was a nice mover. And I took him over some fences, and he had a good, you know, round jump. And I don't know, there was just something about him. I thought he could, you know, really be the one that can make it to the top.
So at what point then, during your partnership with him, Ellen, did you think, well, gosh, you know, I really could make it all the way to four-star. I could be riding at Rolex on this horse.
You know, I thought that the first day I bought him. I bought him in November, and I took him to his first event in March, and I took him training level, and he won that event, and I took him training level for that whole first year, and he won most of his events. And then I did three prelims the next year and moved him right up to intermediate. He had a really solid foundation doing that training level for the entire year. But, I mean, he was just always real honest, and he was good in the dressage. You know, he's very rideable, and he's a careful show jumper. So, I wanted to make sure I took it slow with him and gave him a good foundation. But ever since day one, I thought you know, he was the most talented horse I've ever sat on. So I wanted to make sure I, you know, did it right with him.
Well, you are a recipient of the Rebecca Brusson Grant. Now, tell us what it means to you and what it's meant to your preparation and your plans for this year by winning that grant and being a recipient. And also, Ellen, being on the spring training list, this must have been a real turning point for you in your career.
Yeah, it was a little surreal in the fall because, we went to Fair Hill on a grant, which was the only kind of the only reason I was even able to go to Fair Hill because I got that grant. And we did well there and then got named to the training list. And I was originally planning on just going to Florida for 10 days. And so I would have only been there for one training session. But after I got named to the Rebecca Broussard grant, I was actually able to kind of pack up and leave. And I was there for 5 weeks. So I got to stay for most of the training sessions and I got lots of lessons with David and Karen and Debbie Adams and kind of got to immerse myself in the Ocala culture. And it was a good prep before Rolex. It was definitely, good to get all those, because I don't have a regular trainer down here and I don't have anyone I work with regularly. So it was good to just get some lessons in.
Well, tell me about that preparation then this year. When the new year began, where were you with this horse? What had you done with him over the winter, and what did you do as part of your preparation for the big event so far?
Well, after Fair Hill, I gave him about 6 weeks off. I took him for some hacks and stuff, and over the winter, I just, mainly have been focused on the dressage. When I took him to Florida, we did an intermediate and advanced, and then we did the Red Hills 3-star, and just mainly, in the training sessions, and then my lessons, just worked on just little stuff, the tweaking little stuff in my position, and David worked on just giving me some exercises to get OB stronger and in the dressage, and so just kind of little stuff to get us prepared.
And which competitions have you done then so far?
We did intermediate at Ocala, which he won. And then we did the Rocking Horse Advanced. And then we did the Red Hills 3-star. And then I was planning on doing Texas Rose, which was, I think, 2 weekends ago. I was going to do the Advanced there and just run a combined test. But he had a heel grab at Red Hills, and I didn't want to run him and, chance him injuring that and this close to Rolex. So I decided to scratch him from that. But he hasn't ran anything since Red Hills, but he's a horse who doesn't, he doesn't need to run a whole lot. He's very honest. Like, I think I could give him a year off and go and take him out and do an advance and he'd be fine. He's just an honest horse. So I've been working in the show jumping, and I set up, corners and skinnies and stuff in the show jumping. And so he hasn't done anything since Red Hills, but I'm keeping him going, and he's doing his gallop sets. And I've actually got taking him over for dressage school today. And so he's keeping going since Red Hills.
Now, what about his fitness then? You say, you're obviously doing his galloping sets now. You've increased those to what now, as we're 2 weeks out? Where are you with your gallop sets?
He's currently doing 2 20-minute trots, and then he does 4 5-minute gallops, and I'll probably increase those in the next week here. I'll probably do 2 fives, 2 sixes, and then maybe increase them a little bit more next week.
So how do you feel about then going into this event, an event that you've dreamed of competing at? I mean, it's a big occasion for any rider, but making it there for the first time, any nerves?
No, I really think of it as any other event. I know it's Rolex and it's a 4-star, but it really to me is just another event. It's just like Fair Hill or Red Hills. The course might be a little bit harder, but in my head, it's just another show. At the end of the day, I got to go in and do my dressage and run the cross country and do the show jumping. So I try not to get nervous because, that's just going to make my horse nervous. And so I'm going in with a mentality that it's just another show.
So what would you hope to take away from that event then? Because I'm sure you've probably got a long-term pencil sketched schedule, and it is very much pencil sketched, isn't it, when before you're going to a four-star, three-day event. You're probably looking down the track as well where this could take you. What's on your mind for the rest of the year then, Ellen?
Well, everything's, penciled in. I'm hoping to go to Rolex, and my goal would be to score in the 40s. Our best score, every show he's gotten consistently better. We usually drop a point or two, and Red Hills was his last FEI, and he got a 50.2. So I'm hoping to shave off a little and be in the 40s, and then ultimately I would just like to finish. It would be lovely to finish on my dressage score. And then the rest of the year, I mean, kind of goes from there. If he were to do really well at Rolex, maybe get selected to the WEG team, which would be a long shot. Otherwise, we'll probably end up going to Rebecca Farms in Montana again. And then if all went well, maybe getting overseas and going, to one of the four stars overseas this fall, or maybe going back to Fair Hill. It all just, it depends. And a lot of it depends on finances. I'm working on fundraising money because I'm, self-supported. So it all depends. We'll have to see.
So you probably got some overseas events that you'd think, well, I'd love to have a crack at those. Which are they?
One day I'd love to go to badminton in Burley. Obviously, those have, kind of been in my dreams since I was little as well. And then I think a definite possibility for this fall may be Po in France. So those are kind of, in the back of my mind.
Big goals indeed. Now, the road to Kentucky from Texas is a long one. When do you actually have to leave home to make that trip, Ellen?
We actually have a show, a USEA event in Louisiana the weekend before, which I'm riding two horses in. So I'm gonna take Obi with me to Louisiana. I didn't sign him up. I was going to do an advance to my test, but I think I'll just ride him there that weekend and just kind of get him out and ride him on the show grounds. But so we'll go that weekend. It's a Friday, Saturday event. And then I'll actually leave on Sunday with one of my best friends, Julie Norman. She's also competing at Rolex for her first time. So we will head out on Sunday together. And I believe we'll drive straight through, get there on Sunday evening. And then we've got some friends that have a barn in Lexington, and they're going to let us come and use their turnout Monday and Tuesday. So we'll arrive at the horse park on Tuesday. I'm a big believer in turnout, and like even at Fair Hill, I had a student that has her family farm close by. So Julie and I went up there and turned our horses out for a couple of days before Fair Hill, which I think is just good for their brains and just to get them out of the trailer and let them run around and stuff.
Well, this year's event may be your first time at Rolex as a competitor, but it's also going to mean a lot more to you, isn't it? Tell us about what else is going on at this year's event for you.
So my fiance and I decided to get married there. I kind of figured that everyone that would want to be at my wedding would already be at Rolex, so why not go ahead and get married there rather than... Because I'm from Michigan and my fiance is from England, and we just kind of wanted to do a small get-together, and I didn't want everyone to have to travel down here for a small get-together. And so anyways, we just thought Rolex would be the perfect opportunity for us to tie the knot. So we're going to be getting married on Friday evening on the cross-country course and have a little ceremony, a little party on Friday.
Well, I can imagine people listening to this. Some may say, well, that's wonderful. How romantic is that? And then others might thinking, she's crazy. She's competing in her first Rolex event and she's getting married on that same weekend. Not too much for you then, obviously.
Yeah, I've heard from a lot of people that I must be crazy, but I people that know me know I'm pretty laid back and, I'm not a typical bride either. I just want to have fun and have my friends and family there. And So I'm really not stressed at all about the wedding. It'll go down how it goes down. If there's little problems, it's not the end of the world. I think everyone will end up having a good night and it'll be fun. And like I said, I'm really not very stressed out about Rolex. I'm sure once I get there, there'll be the little show nerves like there always are, but nothing. I don't get major show nerves. I'll go in and do my dressage sets just like I'm at home, and I'll walk across country, and I'm sure I'll have a little nerves, but once I'm in the box and out on the course, I'll be just fine. So I'm really not too worried about getting married and having it all on the same weekend.
Well, there have been many special events at the Kentucky Horse Park, but I think I'm right in saying this will probably be the first wedding that's taken place by a competitor at the event itself, at the Rolex event. So you'll be making history there. Will there be a white dress involved, Ellen, on the cross-country course?
Yes. I actually was not planning on wearing a dress, but one of my mom's friends actually gave me a dress. So I got it altered. I'm actually going to pick it up tomorrow. So I will have an actual dress, which one of my friends said I should wear to the jog out, which I will not be doing because it is very long and I would probably trip and fall in it. But yes, there will be a fancy white dress and all of that. So it'll be a traditional wedding in that sense.
And what's your fiancé's name?
His name is Alistair.
Alistair, and he's from England. Okay, so this is going to be something of a cultural shock for him, won't it, to be married on a cross-country course?
Yeah, he's never been to Rolex, so I think it's going to be a big eye-opener for him because he's just never been to a big event. He came to Montana with me, and he was at Red Hills, so he's been there, and he came to Richland Park, so he's been to kind of some of the three stars, but I think this will be a big big shot for him. So he's very excited, and I think he's probably more nervous than I am. He gets nervous to be at the events. But he's super excited, and I think it'll be a good time.
How did you meet?
We actually met online. We met online on an online dating site, and the night I met him, I met him at a country club. He actually golfed, and he was out with some friends, and I bartended, and when I got done with my shift, I went out and met him, and we stayed up talking till pretty late in the morning, and I called my mom after I left, and I called her, and I said, "Mom, I found the guy I'm going to marry." So I literally knew that night, like, I just, there's something, I don't know, people say you know, and I really did, I knew, so, we've been together almost 3 years now.
So will there be a honeymoon after Rolex? Presumably it won't be too late tonight since you're going cross country the next day.
Well, I've got a show the weekend after Rolex. I'm riding a horse in a two-star, and I've got a couple other horses going. So I think we'll probably wait until the summer, maybe in June, and take a week and go somewhere. So we're not going anywhere directly after Rolex, but hopefully we'll be able to. We haven't actually really had a vacation together at all since I'm always busy with the horses. So I think we'll try and take a week and go somewhere together.
The best of luck, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
And on next week's episode, we'll hear about the USEA's preparation for this year's Rolex Kentucky 3-day event. Until the next time, enjoy your eventing.